Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we will be discussing the readings for the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2007.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "If only you would heed the voice of the Lord, your God, and keep his commandments and statutes that are written in this book of the law, when you return to the Lord, your God, with all your heart and all your soul. For this command that I enjoin on you today is not too mysterious and remote for you. It is not up in the sky, that you should say, 'Who will go up in the sky to get it for us and tell us of it, that we may carry it out?' Nor is it across the sea, that you should say, 'Who will cross the sea to get it for us and tell us of it, that we may carry it out?' No, it is something very near to you, already in your mouths and in your hearts. You have only to carry it out." The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. I pray to you, O Lord, for the time of your favor, O God. In your great kindness answer me with your constant help. Answer me, O Lord, for bounteous is your kindness. In your great mercy turn toward me. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. I am afflicted and in pain. Let your saving help, O God, protect me. I will praise the name of God in song, and I will glorify him with thanksgiving. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. See, you lowly ones, and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the poor, and his own who are in bonds he spurns not. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. For God will save Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. The descendants of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall inhabit it. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. And things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he himself might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross, through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test him and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back. Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim? He answered, the one who treated him with mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to your Sunday Reader. You're here with Father Mark, Don, and I'm Brian. And today we're going to be discussing the story of the Good Samaritan. And Don and Mark, I understand that you guys just did a retreat on the parable of the Good Samaritan. Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
We did a retreat with the people who work at St. Vincent de Paul. And it was just a morning retreat, but it was actually a very good retreat because we basically took this Luke reading and kind of broke it apart and talked about what it means to be, you know, a Good Samaritan, and looking at the various kind of like the stages of the Good Samaritan and who he is and what he does. And it was quite interesting to go through this with them, because it kind of helped them look at their own ministry, you know, to see are they a Good Samaritan, or are they sometimes like the priest or the Levite, you know, especially when they are working with people that maybe they see come in from time after time. And how do they respond to those people? You know, do they respond in a way that's charitable, or do they respond in ways like, you know, we brought them out, you know, we could say things like, oh, God, he's here again. I can't believe it. He was just here last week. Or, oh, my God, I can't believe this person's here to get food. You know, I just saw them in the grocery store. I mean, they were, you know, they can make up all kinds of excuses when they see these people. But we tried to, you know, work with them about the generosity of the Good Samaritan.
You know, one of my favorite parts in preparing for that, I was reading about this road to Jericho that this person is going down. And I sort of always pictured it as, you know, I don't know, a highway you're walking down. And it's a 17-mile road that goes from Jerusalem to Jericho. And in that 17 miles, it drops more than 1,000 feet. And they have a picture online I found, a photograph of what it currently looks like. It actually reminded me sort of like the Grand Canyon, because it's just like this sheer cliff and this little tiny ridge that went along it. And then there were like these little indents in it where these robbers would hide. And so it put a whole new perspective on the story for me that it would have been a really scary to just walk it any time, but then to be attacked on it, it gave the story a lot more flesh.
I think it did, yeah, especially because when you look at that that path that they would have walked, I mean, really, literally was like a path. It was a very tiny, narrow road. It's very risky, and it certainly is very risky for us when we are called into service to be a Good Samaritan, you know, to think of how risky it can be and how much we can think of the fact that if we do help, are we exposing ourselves to maybe harm, or are we going to leave ourselves lacking if we help someone else because we don't have enough resources maybe for ourselves, you know, so by giving it to someone else, I'll leave myself short. You know, we can come up with all kinds of reasons of why it's too risky to do. But I think what we end up finding, and at least, you know, I think of examples in my own life of people who are just so generous that they really don't lack for anything. You know, and I think of Father Mull sometimes, you know, how generous he is, and yet he never lacks for anything.
Yeah, that's true. I think, too, the whole thing that you guys brought out that I think is really important in this is that whole theme of who is neighbor. And, I mean, that's how the whole story starts off, is when the person asks Jesus, you know, who is my neighbor? And what we learn, and it's a theme that we've talked about, you know, several times on this podcast, is that ultimately everybody is our neighbor. Everybody is our brother, and we need to learn to care for everybody. Even the people who, you know, appear to us to be enemy. Many people know I've got my website called Working to Beat Hell, and if you go to the beginning of that website, it kind of also talks about that theme, how a lot of times we live in a world that seems very divided and very polarized, and we tend to look at other groups as enemies. So if you're a Catholic, you know, maybe it's the Protestants, or if you're a Republican, maybe it's the Democrats. But really, that's a false view of the world. What we learn from the gospel is that we're all part of one body in Christ, and what we're supposed to be doing is working against against our one enemy, which would be the devil, and not working against each other. And in this story, I think that's a beautiful illustration of this, where you have the Samaritan who would seemingly be the enemy in this story. Samaritans were looked down on by many of the Jews, and he's the person who comes to the aid of the victim here. It really shows that everyone is neighbor. There's no real enemy within the human race that we have.
I like what happens in the gospel is the question that the lawyer asks is, and who is my neighbor? But by the end of the reading, Jesus has now changed that question to, which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim? So instead of it being, you know, a noun identifying a person as my neighbor, now it becomes a verb, you know. So what kind of person demonstrates this activity of being neighborly? And I mm-hmm. guess it's really a good question for us to think about, you know, that instead of looking at other people and saying, which one is my neighbor, maybe kind of looking at ourselves and saying, how neighborly am I to other people?
Yeah, and I think that's a very good point, Mark, that you've brought out, is that whole sense that it calls us to our own inward reflection on our own lives and saying, can I be neighbor to other people around me, or allows us to reflect on how successful or perhaps unsuccessful have I been at being neighbor to those around me.
You know, it occurred to me, maybe we should talk a little bit about the Samaritan themselves. Many people may not know, they might just think Samaritan, oh, that's just a good person. But in the time, the setting of the story, the Jewish people and the Samaritans were not friends.
As a matter of fact, Dawn, when you're talking about that, the Jewish people, when they were traveling, would actually go out of their way to avoid going through Samaria rather than having to walk through it, even though in many instances the most direct path of going between many places like Galilee and Jerusalem, for example, would be to go through Samaria. The Jewish people traditionally would take a roundabout way to avoid going through that. That's the extent to which they disliked these people.
And 2 weeks ago in our gospel reading, they're going to Jerusalem, and they have to go through the Samaritan village, and the Samaritans aren't very nice to them. And so the followers are asking, you know, do you want us to call down fire on these people? So this is a real thing for these people. It's not just something out there.
Yeah, there's a real animosity between the groups, and so it certainly adds a greater depth to the story. I guess if we were to kind of look at it in our present day and age, you know, could we be neighborly to a Muslim, you know, or someone who is part of Al-Qaeda? You know, could we be neighborly to someone like that? You know, almost looking at them as an enemy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really, you know, where the power of the story comes in. Unfortunately, it's lost a little bit as we don't really, in our society, as we don't really see those conflicts between, or we don't really, you know, initially get the image of the Samaritan and the Jewish people and the animosity. But, you know, Mark, I think your example is very good. If you were to put this in the story in modern-day U.S. setting, you know, you might use somebody like a member of Al-Qaeda or something like that in the place of the Samaritan. And that would kind of come close to giving the sense of the animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans, and how miraculous it was that the Samaritan would help this Jewish person. But then the other thing is the extent to which he helps him, too. It's not just a superficial, like, I'm going to quickly patch you up and send you on your way, but, you know, he brings him to the inn, finds him assistance, and then tells the innkeeper, you know, if this isn't enough, I'll be back, and I'll cover any other expenses as well. That generosity is just going, you know, well beyond the call of duty. I think most people, generally speaking, if we saw somebody who is in need, would do that initial step, you know, maybe, you know, call 911 or whatever it is that needed to be done. But how many of us would go that extra step to ensure that everything was okay and the follow-through was there as well?
Absolutely. And, you know, I was just looking at the gospel again and going back to the very beginning of it is, you know, he says, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You know, and it's not about, you know, he certainly is a master in the law and he can recite the law, which is great. But it's about
being able to integrate that law into oneself and do the law. And that's what Jesus is really kind of forcing him into, is, you know, he says at the end of the gospel, go and do likewise. So you can recite the law all you want, and that's wonderful, but until you do it and integrate it. So it's really showing us that when we see the Samaritan, a person who was really, just integrated the laws of their faith into their entire life and really just has a close connection to God, so that when they are confronted with a situation that might challenge the law, they're able to respond in a very generous way.
Yeah, it's also interesting that you mentioned that initial part, because at the very beginning you've got this guy who can, again, like you said, he can recite the law. Then he asks the question, well, you know, who is my neighbor here? And it's almost as if he's saying, what is the minimal that I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Christ kind of flips the whole question and says, it's not about doing the minimum, it's about going above and beyond what you're supposed to do. And that's kind of what this whole story shows. It's not about, you know, what is the minimum that I can get away with and, you know, still get into heaven. It's this whole interior attitude that should be about, what else can I do? Or how can I further build up the kingdom of God?
Right. Because it's not about, you know, inheriting eternal life is not just about, you know, we talked about this before, but we could certainly put that into the future. So what I do now will have implications for a future event, you know, me getting into heaven. But we don't realize, too, that the implication is in the present moment, too. And that's where the generosity is really called forth, is in the present moment.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing here. And we talked about this last week, and I think we've talked about it before, is the idea that the kingdom of God is not something that's solely in the future. It's saying present and future. And so it does have implications right here and now for how the kingdom of God is actualized in the present moment. All of our actions do.
And on that note, I think that we probably have reached the end of our podcast. And Brian, do you know, I just realized that our fabulous Spider-Man 3 podcast has been posted.
Oh, it has? Where has it been posted? I honestly don't know this.
I just checked it just now. It's on the Diocese of Rochester website. So if you go to www.dor.org. and click on their Diocese of Rochester podcast, you'll find us there. And that was a fun thing that we did. You might want to check that out. And for people that may not know, they hear the bells in the background. Brian, where are you exactly?
I am in Mexico. I'm actually sitting in a computer lab at the language school that I'm going to, that I'm attending. So you're hearing bells because classes are starting and ending and things.
Fabulous. And Father Mark, where are you?
I'm in my new parish in Newark, New York at St. Michael's. I'm the pastor here now.
And I'm sitting in my same old office in Canandaigua, New York. And so we thank you for joining us and ask that you join us again next week. Have a good week and God bless.